Here inside the KATE studios, Nate Dickinson with you. We're talking sports all hour, as we do every single weekday from 3 to 4 on KATE Radio. And we've also been taking some time with sports on hold to talk to some former sports figures from around the area. And today we have joining us over the phone Jim Wendorf, a former swimmer who won a state championship back in the 1970s. Jim, thanks for having your calling on and us having you on here on KATE. What have you been up to with those sports here? I want to start there. We've been asking the same first and last questions to everybody. And the first one is, with no sports going on, most people who were involved in sports in any way, or at least fans, how have you been filling that 3 to 4 hour void when you're usually watching games? And sorry to cut you off there a minute ago.
No problem. Well, hey, I'm a proud 1978 graduate of Albert Lea. I have a lot of fond memories of coaches and different athletes I participate in sports with. So I'm happy to connect with everyone in Albert Lea. It's fun, and I appreciate the call. Yeah, it's been hard with this, the shutdown. And one of the things, Nate, you said in the introduction that I was a swimmer, and I've continued to swim into my adult life. I'm part of a master's swim team in Rochester. I live over by Rochester now, and I've competed in different master events the last couple of years. And so with the pool shut down, I'm having withdrawals. I haven't been able to swim in several weeks, and that's been difficult. And I've tried to, like most people, stay in shape a little bit with doing calisthenics and, you know, lifting some dumbbells that I have at home. But as somebody who swam for, you know, 40 plus years, it's probably the longest I've gone without swimming. So I'm definitely having withdrawals right now.
Well, you mentioned you're still swimming now, and I want to get more into that in a bit. But before we get going, I just want to have you kind of give us the roadmap of your history in swimming and just sports in general, from when you were little getting started through Albert Lea and then all the way up until now as well. What's your involvement been like just in sports?
Sure. Well, I came from a fairly large family. There were 7 kids, and I'm 6 out of 7. And I had 3 older brothers in front of me, all of them who were pretty good athletes. And I was kind of the runt of the family with some of the older brothers. I primarily was influenced by one of my older brothers who was a runner. So I ran cross country and in junior high and played basketball for a couple years, and also ran track. Originally I had great plans to be a great miler, is what I focused on. And in ninth grade, I switched to swimming. I was primarily influenced by a good friend of mine, Ray Keating, who is a swimmer. Also in basketball, I knew I was never going to be as good as my brother. My brother, Rich Wendorf, was 2 years older than me and was a lot more talented, taller, et cetera. And I thought, you know, I'm gonna do something different than him. So I started swimming. And once I did that, I fell in love with it. It was just a wonderful sport. I joined a swim team. Actually, the swimming program was fairly new in Albert Lea. They didn't have a high school pool until probably 73, I think, was the first year. So it was a fairly new sport. Our coach at the time was Jim Lang. The assistant coach was Dale Schultes, who was a well-known counselor at the high school. And so I started swimming and had some good success, and just found it was a wonderful sport. There was a lot of camaraderie. Swimming physically is very challenging, and I enjoyed that. I started swimming. I started to get muscles from swimming, and all of that really encouraged me to continue to do as good as I could. So I was very fortunate, Nate, to be with a group of other guys who were swimming. Names like Gary DeRuz, who's probably the best male swimmer that Albert Lea's ever had. Gary was a fantastic swimmer, backstroker. He was state champion on individual events. Ray Keating, who I mentioned, John Schmitz, who some of you might remember was a swimming coach, and he was a butterfly champion, Steve Furness, Tim Saline. There was a core group of about six or seven people, and we were all good athletes who decided to swim. And we had a really good team. We had good camaraderie. Coach Lang really wasn't the swim coach. He was more of your typical gum-chewing gym teacher. But he instilled in us a little bit of toughness mentally, and encouraged us to, work hard. And you know, every day at practice, he'd give us a pep talk. And a lot of times those pep talks were corny, but they made a difference. So, you know, when you're 15, 16 years old, you're pretty impressionable, and he'd tell us things to toughen us up, and we took that to heart. So that core group, we swam together. We started to have success. In the summers, we would swim together. A lot of us went to swimming camps, which really helped. A number of us went down to University of Iowa, and there we were exposed to some really outstanding coaches who helped us with technique and other things, and that made our confidence all that much more. And by the time we were seniors, we were one of the better teams in the state. In fact, we got third at the state meet. We won the medley relay, which is the first relay, and that's where I was fortunate to be a part of. And third place at the state meet was a huge opportunity for us and a great accomplishment, because at that time there was only one class back then, and for Elberly to get third was a big deal.
Jim, I want to go back and ask you about the early days with your brother Rich, who you mentioned. Having someone like that who was also so involved in sports right there just growing up, how did that help mold you as just a competitor in general?
Yeah, that's a good question. There were three brothers, Paul, 71 grad, Brad was a 73 grad, Rich was a 76 grad. And really, I give Paul, my older brother, a lot of credit. We always had a weight room down in our basement. We had dumbbells, we had barbells. We used to get Sports Illustrated, and back in the day, Sports Illustrated would have great articles about different sports, and I would cut out pictures. And in this little basement weight room, we had all these pictures of all the different sports taped up on the walls. We probably had, 100 plus different pictures of different sports and things to inspire us. But all of that kind of inspired me to be as good as my older brothers were in things. Brother Rich of the Windorf boys was by far the most naturally talented and gifted. He was the biggest. He's about 6'5", very quick, very coordinated. Also had a mental toughness that I always admired. He, again, his primary sport was basketball, but I always knew that he would be a winner. One of the things we would do before a contest is listen to Beach Boy albums and crank them through the house. And one of our favorite tunes was Be True to Your School. And we were very much Albert Lee Tigers. We were very motivated by beating some of the other teams within the Big Nine. There was a lot of rivalries we had. So it was all a great time as I look back at it. And very, very positive influence when I was younger, and it stuck with me to this day.
What do you think it was that really got you to fall in love with swimming, make that change from track and field to go in the pool? You mentioned a few things, the camaraderie, the feel of just being physically demanded like that. Was it either of those things, just the specific type of competition in there that drew to you?
A couple things. One of my first experiences, Nate, that I can, vividly remember was the 72 Olympics, and that was the Mark Spitz Olympics. And so I felt like at that time, hey, swimmers are, this is a pretty cool thing to do. When I started swimming, I again physically started to develop. I also like the aspect with the sport of swimming where there's an individual component. So you're racing and you can win, but there's also the team component of a team score and so on. Relays are great. Again, I was very fortunate to be on a state champion relay team. I anchored that team. It was a very special moment to be with some of your best buddies that you've worked hard with for, you know, 5-6 years, and you end up being the best team in the state. So I think, Nate, it was the individual component as well as being on a team. We were very, confident, borderline cocky on how good we were. We love beating teams like Rochester, Austin, who likewise had some good athletes, probably a lot better coaching. Our coaching, as I said, we really didn't have a swim coach that was a talented swimmer. This is all new to Albert Lea, and we were able to set a lot of, you know, really all of the school records as well as conference and state records. So all of that combined just made me really fall in love with the sport. And it was something, again, that distinguished me a little bit different than what my brothers were doing.
I want you to tell me a little more about this master swim team that you're a part of. What is that all about? What are those competitions like out there?
Sure. Yeah. Well, like a lot of runners and, you know, golfers and, you know, other people, as you get older, you still want to compete. And swimming's a great lifelong sport. I didn't get into it for that, but I've come to appreciate what a wonderful lifetime activity it is. And, you know, in the 80s, I started doing some triathlon, really, you know, kind of leveraging my swimming ability. And then I just kind of switched to, you know, let's just swim. I first did one of the big swims I did with Ray Keating and his brother John. We actually did a relay down in Florida off of Key West. We were in the ocean, and we swam a 12-mile relay. Each of us swam 4 miles. So that kind of gave me a little bit of inspiration to keep swimming. And when I came into the Rochester community, they have some great pools, some great facilities. There's a number of other older swimmers, so there's a master's program. It's great to swim with both men and women at all ages. The youngest is probably 22 years old, and I think the oldest guy we have is about 78 years old. A couple years ago, Ray Keating and I, who again is my classmate, we did the national master swim meet. It was up at the University of Minnesota. And I got to tell you, it was very inspirational because you had age groups like you used to do when you were younger, and they started from oldest to youngest, and the first age group they called up was 95 and older, and there were a couple competitors 95 and older, and then you went 90 to 95 and 85 to 90 and so on and so forth. There are several Olympic champions who are still swimming, both male and female, so that was cool to see some of those people, but it was really neat to see people well into their 80s who are still swimming, still having fun, enjoying what they're doing, and that was a huge inspiration. But swimming's also one of those sports, Nate, where you're used to watching the clock, so you always know how fast you used to be. As you get older, it's very humbling because you watch the clock and you say, geez, I used to go this fast, and now I'm super slow, but you know, you realize that at this point in your life, it's more about just staying fit, enjoying what you do, and I appreciate the ability to swim to this day.
That's truly incredible, Jim. I want to ask you, as someone who's been doing this for such a long time, how has the sport evolved over your time swimming? How has it changed for the better, maybe the worse? I really don't know, but what's different about swimming now as opposed to when you were in high school or just younger swimming going through to today?
Well, a lot, like a lot of sports, the athletes, they're just so much more physically developed. The technique is incredible. You know, in my day, you know, we had some really good athletes, obviously, but the technique for the strokes, the turns are a little more important. The four strokes we swam were butterfly, backstroke, breaststroke, and freestyle. And some of the coaches today will tell you there's actually a fifth stroke, which is kicking. The kick has become a lot more important. If you ever watch Michael Phelps and some of the swims he did, those guys are coming off the wall. They're kicking underwater. They're much more streamlined, today than we were 40 years ago. And, it's just an incredible difference. The other thing, I came out of an era in the 70s where you kind of overtrained. I spent a summer with Steve Furness, another classmate, a 79 graduate. We were at University of Iowa, and we would swim 7 days a week, and we'd average about 15,000 yards a day. So there's a real emphasis on overtraining. 15,000 yards a day is huge. In fact, one day we did 20,000 yards. That's a lot of miles in the pool. Today, kids don't do that. Even your top, elite swimmers will do 5,000-6,000 yards a day, and then they'll do other dry land exercises. So much, much more emphasis on being more well-rounded, not just spending all your time in the pool. So that's how it's involved. And, a little historical fact is, when Tarzan was swimming, I forgot Tarzan's name now, the Olympic champion back in the 20s and 30s. I lost his name. Anyways, they would swim about 500-600 yards a day. That would be it. And, so you can see how much swimming's evolved, kind of on how much they swim and how much effort you put in the pool and so on. Much, much different throughout the years.
Would that be Johnny Weissmuller you're talking about?
Yes, thank you.
I didn't know it. I'm not taking credit. I just Googled it real quick.
Well, it was on the tip of my tongue, but yeah, Johnny Weissmuller, back, he was from the Chicago area. They thought if you swam more than 500-600 yards a day, you were going to like burn them out. And today, an average warm up is about 1,000 yards a day. I mean, you'll have 12-year-olds doing three times more yards than he did. And some of these athletes back in that time, Johnny Weissmuller is actually quite fast. And how he did that with the number of yards he swam is really incredible.
You mentioned some things like the streamlining, the kicking. Has there been any kind of like big revolution in swimming where like basketball, everyone's taking three-pointers now? In baseball, people are swinging for the fences. Was there anything like that in swimming? Because just from a layman's eyes, it would seem like, well, swimming, you're just trying to go fast.
Yep. I think, again, the big one is the kick. It's coming off the water, going underwater further, and being streamlined. So in my day, people would come off the wall, and you would try to get up to the surface as quick as possible and start going. You actually go faster underwater, and it's much more demanding. Your lung capacity is much more important. You're in oxygen deficit coming off these turns, and to push off the wall and go 15 meters underwater kicking is crazy. And again, Phelps did it better than anybody else. His part of his training, he'd actually sit, he would go underwater and in the deep end and just kick up with a dolphin kick and try to maintain that, his body out of the water as long as he could. And there's, he raced about 2004 time period. He did a 200-meter freestyle at the World Championships, and the Olympic champion was next to him. He's a guy from the Netherlands called Peter Hoogland. And he had beat Phelps, but Phelps was coming to his own. And there's a great race to watch. And the very last turn, they kind of turn even, and Phelps goes underwater, and he comes up in, you know, when they pop into the surface, Phelps is a good body length ahead of him. He just blew him away in the turn, and all of that was done by just streamline underwater doing dolphin kick. So that would be kind of the big, I think, in my mind, revolution that's taken place over the last several decades in swimming.
Jim Wendorf joining us here on Kate Radio. Jim, we thank you for taking some time to talk to us here just about your experience swimming and in sports in general. I mentioned when we started, we asked people the same questions when we get started and also at the end, too. The ending question, with everyone just kind of huddled up inside right now and having nothing to do, what's a recommendation you have, a movie, book, TV show, anything like that, that people can waste some time on while they're still having to stay inside?
Well, you know, my favorite book, I'm a big historian fan. If you have, if you like history, anybody likes that, Undaunted Courage is the story of the Lewis and Clark expedition. Undaunted Courage. And it's one of the better books that I've read. The other thing I've done, Nate, is, you know, with an iPad, you can go out and watch some of these races. I've gone out and looked at some of Spitz's races back in 72 and some of the other Olympic champions, and it's kind of fun to YouTube some of that stuff and watch it again and kind of get inspired again. So I'd encourage people to check that out as well.
All right, well, that's Jim Wendorf, former Albert Lee swimmer and still out there swimming now. We thank you again for taking some time to talk to us for a little while, Jim. It was really fun hearing your story and hearing that you're still at it now, and hopefully you'll be able to get back out into the water soon enough. Again, we appreciate your time, and hopefully we'll be able to talk to you some point in the future, too.
All right, thank you, and go Tigers.